Welcome to Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 7. In the last parak, we learned about the destruction of Yerushalayim, how Hashem warned them and warned them, but again, it didn't help. Now that we have focused on this destruction, this parak continues by teaching what is the role of the Beis HaMikdash for the Jewish people, and what happens if the service of the Beis HaMikdash is not done properly. At this point, Yehuda assumes that the Beis HaMikdash is safe from harm. They need to be taught that this is not true. The big parak begins telling us, Hadaver asher haya el Yirmiyahu me'etz Hashem, the word that came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem. It emphasizes that Yirmiyahu received this message from Hashem. Yirmiyahu is about to minimize the power of the Beis HaMikdash, so it must be clear that he is not personally disparaging the Beis HaMikdash and its greatness. Verse 2, Yirmiyahu is told to stand at the gates of the Beis HaMikdash and call out in Hashem's name to all of Yehuda that enter in these gates, l'hishtachavos la'Hashem, to worship Hashem. These people are the good guys. They are coming to serve Hashem. In Sefer Yechezkel, Yechezkel has visions of people worshiping idols on the Beis HaMikdash. This is not this audience. Yirmiyahu is addressing people who at least believe in Hashem and in Kedusha and holiness. Yirmiyahu's message is that the people are not serving Hashem properly. They think they can act however they want most of the time, and then come to the Beis HaMikdash and receive atonement. They will go to exile, but there is an out. Hitivu darchechem, improve your ways, and then, v'ashakna eschem b'makom hazeh, I will continue to cause you to dwell in this place with the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. The problem, as described in Pasuk, the third verse, is that the false prophets have convinced the people that everything's fine and the Beis HaMikdash can't be destroyed because it is Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem Hema. It's the temple of Hashem, the temple of Hashem, the temple of Hashem are these. The Malbim says that Yirmiyahu was trying to change the people's philosophy about the Beis HaMikdash. They thought that Hashem's Shechina was mainly found in the Beis HaMikdash. In actuality, the main resting place of Hashem's Shechina is within the Jewish people themselves. The Beis HaMikdash is just a reflection of who they are. Yehuda needs to make themselves a vessel where the Shechina can rest by improving themselves. The Mishpatzot Zahav on verse 4 explains the word asu ta'asu, you must do. It means they can't just be happy with their current spiritual level. They must work to continually improve themselves. The more mitzvot they do, the more they make themselves a place for the Shechina to rest. They need to fix themselves to keep the Shechina with them. It's not just about their service of Hashem through prayer and sacrifice. Their society needs to be whole and kind. There must be a justice system and protection for the most vulnerable in society, the converts, the widows, and the orphans. People cannot murder nor serve idols. If they can improve in mitzvot, both between man and Hashem, and between people, then Hashem will stay with them in the Beis HaMikdash forever. Yirmiyahu recognizes that his words won't help, because people have been fooled by the Nevi'i Sheker, who treat the Beis HaMikdash like a magic wand that gets rid of Averos. They commit the most severe sins, murder, adultery, idolatry, and then figure they can waltz into the Beis HaMikdash, bring a few karbanos, and presto chango, everything is forgiven. This behavior is the epitome of a lack of emuna. Bitachon and emuna, faith and trust in Hashem, means knowing Hashem gave us the Torah, and we must follow what Hashem commanded. Here, they did not listen to what Hashem wanted. Verse 10, Uvasen v'maditem l'fanai, and you come and you stand before me in this house. B'bayis hazeh asher nikra shmi olav, in the house where my name is called on it, and they say, Nitzalnu la'man asos es kol hatoevos ha'ela, we are saved so that you may do all these abominations. They would come, says the Mitzudas David, and daven to be saved from all their troubles, not realizing the part they are playing in their own fate. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to in this parak with the name Asher Nikra Shmi, that my name is called on it. Yehuda assumed that since the Beis HaMikdash was clearly connected to Hashem, it couldn't be destroyed because it would be too big of a disgrace against Hashem's name for anything to happen to it. Their righteous persona does not fool anyone. Hashem knows exactly what is going on. Gam Anochi Hinei Ra'isi. I, Hashem, have also seen it. The people have a hard time believing that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, so Yirmiyahu brings a precedent to convince them. The Mishkan traveled from place to place in the Midbar and was set up as a permanent structure in Shiloh during the time of the Shoftim. It stood for over 300 years and was the center of all religious observance. There was a war with the Plishtim, and Eli's sons decided to take the Aron with the Luchos out to war. This was disrespectful of the Aron and the Mishkan. They assumed that the Mishkan would always be safe, so it wasn't so terrible if they took this Aron to war. And despite their confidence, Hashem destroyed it entirely. The Beis HaMikdash will likewise be destroyed, and for two reasons. Verse 13. First, Yan Aso Schem es Kol HaMais Me'ela. Because you have done all these actions, they sinned as detailed in the previous Pesukim. And second, Va'adabar Aleichem Hashkem V'dabar V'lo Shematim. I spoke to you early and often, but you didn't listen. They sinned, and they didn't listen to the repeated messages of the Nevi'im sent to guide them. Both their behavior and the apathy are a reflection of the root of their problem. In addition, verse 14, Asher Atem Botchem Bo, you trust in it. Yehuda doesn't trust in Hashem. They trust in the Beis HaMikdash and in the rituals. Their religious behavior, while looking authentic, was really superstitious. From verses 16 to 19, the focus of the parak shifts. Hashem speaks to Yirmiyahu directly. This was not shared with the nation at this time, but was included as a Nevuah Ledoros, a prophecy relevant to all times. Yirmiyahu keeps on defending the nation and asking Hashem to show them a bit more mercy, a bit more love, some miracles, and give them some time. Hashem tells him this won't work for this group of people because they are too far gone. In verse 16, Hashem first tells Yirmiyahu, Al tispalel ba'ad ha'am hazeh. Do not daven for these people. He continues and says, don't beg, I am not listening. The Ma'am Lois says that Yirmiyahu was a Kohen, so he was always blessing the people. Hashem is telling him, stop. The Pasuk also seems to be very repetitious, telling Yirmiyahu numerous times, don't daven, don't ask. The Al-Sheikh explains this repetition indicates that Hashem is serious. At the Egel, when Hashem told Moshe not to daven, Moshe understood it as a cue to daven. Here, tefilos will really not help. A leader is supposed to daven for his nation, as Moshe did whenever a punishment was due. Here Hashem is saying that Yirmiyahu should not daven. Hashem explains what they are doing is so bad. Imagine a nice family, it's a family moment, and they're working together. The young are gathering sticks, the fathers are lighting the fire, and the women are kneading dough. What a beautiful family event, except it's all being done to serve Avodah Zarah. The three examples of work in the Pasuk parallel the holy actions of Yitzchak, who collected sticks for the Akedah, Avraham, who lit the fire for the Akedah, and Sarah, who needed dough to feed the Malachim, who came to announce Yitzchak's birth. The Midrash, Pesikta Rabasi, says that the nation did the same actions as the Avos to purposely upend their model. In Shemona Esrei, we daven every day in the merit of our Avos. Yehuda disconnected themselves from that merit. Hashem continues with an important philosophical lesson in verse 19 to conclude this section. Ha'osi heimachisim? Are they angering me? Hashem has no emotions. When the Torah describes Hashem as angry, it means that is how we perceive Hashem is related to us. Instead, hala'osam l'man boshes p'neihem. Isn't it them who are angered for the embarrassment of their own faces? Any punishments only impact Bnei Yisrael and will be a source of embarrassment for them when their souls face Hashem in the world of truth. Our service of Hashem is for our benefit, not for Hashem. Hashem now turns to the nation and tells them with a shvua, with a swear, that the Beis HaMikdash will incur Hashem's wrath, and then from there it will spread to all parts of creation. Al ha'adam ve'al ha'behema, v'al itz ha'sadeh v'al pri ha'adama, on man and animal, on tree of the field, and on the fruit of the land. The purpose of creation is to connect the world to Hashem in the place where the Beis HaMikdash stands. Once that connection is severed, the rest of creation loses its vitality and its source of strength and can be burned. The Pesukim return to talking about Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. The Karbanos will not placate Hashem nor prevent the Karban. Right now, their Karbanos are wasted because they bring Olos, Karbanos that are completely burnt. Since their Karbanos aren't doing anything, since they don't have the proper intention, they should better bring Shlomim, a Karban where they get to at least eat the meat, so at least they're getting something beneficial out of this deal. Hashem highlights that Karbanos are not the main emphasis in Judaism. Rashi says Hashem never gave the Torah at Har Sinai on the condition that they bring Karbanos. The Torah was given with a stipulation that Klal Yisrael would listen to Hashem. Karbanos weren't mentioned in Mara with the laws given before Har Sinai, nor were Karbanos part of the Aseres HaDibros. Yirmiyahu mentions in verse 23, as was said a number of times in the parak, that instead of Karbanos, Hashem wants the nation to listen to him. There should be a relationship where the nation accepts the authority of Hashem to make rules. V'hayisi lachem l'Elohim, v'atem tziuli la'am. I will be your God, and you will be my people. V'alachtem b'chol haderech asher atzave eschem l'mani tav lachem. And you should walk in all the way that I command you. In whatever we do in life, we are meant to imitate Hashem and elevate every component of our lives. Our first task is to accept the dictates of what Hashem wants. But instead of listening to Hashem, each person did whatever they wanted. Vayelchu b'mo'etzos. They walked based on their own opinion. By making changes to the mitzos, they thought they were progressing. But vayu la'achor v'lo lefanim. They went backward and not forward. Progress comes from listening to Hashem, not using their own logic to create their own ethics. They didn't need to stumble around. From the time Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, in addition to the Torah, Hashem gave Bnei Yisrael Nevi'im so they would know what did Hashem want of them at all times. Verse 26, Hashem warned them and spoke to them, but they refused to listen. Hashem turns to Yirmiyahu and reminds him that he still needs to warn them. Verse 27, V'karasa aleihem v'lo ya'anucha. You will call to them, but they won't answer you. When the Chorban comes and the nation blames everyone else, Yirmiyahu should say, verse 28, Lo shamu b'kol Hashem elkav v'lo lakchu masar. This nation didn't listen to the voice of Hashem, nor accept masar. Even worse, avda ha'emuna v'nechorsa mepihim. Emuna, faith is lost and it is cut off from their mouth. Even when we are not perfect, we still say, Imirza Hashem, if Hashem wants, or Baruch Hashem, bless Hashem, to acknowledge that Hashem has a place in our lives. At this time, there was no outward manifestation that they believed in Hashem. As a result, there is no hope, since Hashem is clearly rejecting them. Yirmiyahu tells the people in verse 29, Gazin izrech vashlichi, grow your hair like a mourner, usi al shivayim kina, and say lamentations on the high hills. At the end of the parak, there are additional details showing that Yehuda debased themselves in a way that made the Chorban inevitable. Verse 30, Samu shikusehem b'bayas asher nekra shmi alav b'tamo. They have set up their disgusting things in the house, their idols, in the house where my name is called on it, on the Beis HaMikdash to defile it. In addition to bringing Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash, Yehuda started serving in a death cult. They built altars in Gay Ben Hinnom in the Ben Hinnom Valley, which was called such because parents would bring their children to be burned as a sacrifice to a foreign god. Lo Alsa Alibi, this was a level of depravity that Hashem did not even consider needing to be addressed. As a punishment, this valley that was the center of this particularly gruesome death cult would become a center of death for all of Yehuda, not just the children. V'lo ye'amer od ha'tofes of the Gay Ben Hinnom. They're no longer going to call it Tofes and the Valley of Ben Hinnom. Ki im gei ha'harega. They're going to call it the Valley of Death. V'kavru v'sofes me'ein makom. There is going to be so many people who are going to be buried in this place, there's going to be a lack of room in the cemetery. The people won't even merit burial and will be eaten by wild animals. The destruction is so complete that verse 34, V'hishbati me'ara Yehuda u'mechutos Yerushalayim kol sason v'kol simcha kol chasan v'kol kala. I will cause to cease from the cities of Yehuda and from the streets of Yerushalayim the voice of joy and gladness, the voice of the chasan and the kala, the bride and the groom, for the land will be desolate. In this parak, we learned that Yehuda did not understand how and why the Beis HaMikdash was there, and that there needed to be intention behind their visits. They could not sin and steal and oppress with no consequences. Hashem has tried to warn them, but they never listen. They have become so depraved that they even sacrificed their own children to Avodah Zarah. One lesson we can learn was shared in the beginning of the parak. The psukim tell us to asu ta'asu, keep doing. As long as we're on this earth, we need to keep striving and keep improving. Our biggest demonstration is faith in following the commandments that Hashem has given us. We also must keep the name of Hashem on our lips. When we say Imirza Hashem, if Hashem wants, or Baruch Hashem, and thank Hashem, we turn our day into one filled with emuna and prayer. Thank you for studying together L'Ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.